Should we turn off the dryer? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi. It just came out. We're gonna spoil the shit out of it. Hopefully you've seen it at least once.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover. And Tim Wick.
Pew, 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 pew.
And if you can't tell by our sound effects, we're going to talk about The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi!
Almost said The Force Awakens. That was the other
one. Yeah, that's the other
one.
That's a different Star Wars movie.
The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi.
Yeah, from his nap.
What?
The third one's going to be titled, Derek Marsh said, From His Nap.
From His Nap. Her Nap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spoilers!
Spoilers. It just came out. You might not have seen it. You probably should see it soon. Otherwise, shit's gonna get ruined for you. And there's stuff worth spoiling.
There is definitely stuff worth spoiling.
And if you don't give a shit about spoilers, that's fine. I mean, that's your call. That's your life. But
totally. But we're gonna start talking about it like right now. So, The Last Jedi, which before the movie came out was confirmed to be singular.
I thought it was confirmed to be plural. Because of Italian.
No, singular because of.
Oh, I heard it the other way. Interesting.
Maybe it was the other way. But anyway, it picks up pretty close to where the last one left off a little bit.
Maybe months. I mean, because Kylo's face is not healed. He's got the crazy, like, that weird, it looks almost, it's, I don't know what they're called, I'm sure there's a name for it, I guarantee there's no name
but
for
like,
it. But
like, Rey is on.
Black back to tape or something.
Octo.
Well, part of the film picks up literally seconds after the last film.
With Rey.
That's true, with Rey. Yeah, Rey's is the Rey's storyline with Luke picks up. They actually show some of the still, unless they waited for another, you know, full minute after what we saw of a full minute, which is a long time to stand and wait and hold out your lightsaber. But and then there was the very first, I would say, the first of many jokey moments in The Last Jedi, which I think I felt like harkens back to classic Star Wars more.
Yeah.
Because it was I always considered it to be a very jokey set of movies, like, to me. So
there's serious stuff, there's silly stuff.
Sure, but the, like,
like, C-3PO is a fucking joke character.
Yeah.
Like, everything about him is basically,
laugh it up, fuzzball. Like, just anything like that. Like, so Luke throws that lightsaber that Rey hands him into the ocean.
Shortly before getting himself a frothy glass of green.
I don't know what those. I know they have a name again, but I should have bought the visual dictionary so we can be naming everything.
Alien milk. Just whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Man. Yeah. Unpasteurized, straight from the tit.
Yeah.
Greenish blue milk that looks a lot like what he drank on Tatooine, but not quite the same. It's
so,
greener.
There's, I would say, like The Force Awakens, this has had a lot of mixed review.
Yes.
And we'll probably want to talk about that.
I would say this film has generated full-on fan hate.
Schism.
They put out a petition to Disney
so much hurt.
To remove it canonically from the series.
And
which
to be
is,
fair, the person who did that later admitted that he was high when he did it. So, but
it's
still,
so fucking stupid on so many levels. Like,
it is.
Even if this was a bad, even if I felt this was a bad movie, which I don't, that's just dumb.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that in a fairly objective sense, it is a good movie. I think you could maybe argue that it's not a great Star Wars movie or that it's very different from many other Star Wars movies. And I think those are fair arguments to make. But I don't think it's super fair to say it's a bad movie because I think that, like, as a movie, it tells a story. It has characters that grow and change. It seems like it's a good movie to me. But
Some people, I feel like, aren't familiar with tropes, like, not tropes even, I mean, because tropes has become a negative word these days, but like concepts like the hero's journey,
right,
or how like plots have been structured kind of since the beginning of story and
sure.
and stuff. And so like some people will be like, this is just like so many other movies. Like, it's so like derivative. It's like, no, dude, that's like the nature of story. That's how
it is.
It is chapter two of a hero's journey arc where everything gets dark and the heroes are down and maybe won't come back from it. And we're not sure what's going to happen. And it seems like evil wins against crazy odds. And that's not fair. And,
yeah. And that's just kind of the nature of movies.
Yeah.
My response to this film, and I mean, I don't know how we want to talk about it, but I'm just going to come right out and say that in mulling over how this movie fits into the Star Wars canon and thinking about what this movie did and thinking about the ways that it did it and thinking about the weaknesses of it, and there are a few, although I don't think they're bad, this is probably my third favorite Star Wars movie.
Hmm.
I don't think it beats episodes 4 and 5 to me, but I do think it's better than 7.
It is my third favorite because I like 7 the best, and then I like Empire. So I like 7, 5, 8 is my top 3, honestly.
Do we want to do rankings real quick?
Sure.
Sounds like we already have.
Let's include Rogue One.
Okay.
So mine is 5, 7, 6, Rogue One, 8, 4, who cares?
All right, so mine is 7, 5, 8, 4, Rogue One, 6, and then 3, 2, 1. I think that's pretty much, I like the prequels in that order. I find both Child Anakin and Jar Jar to be unnecessarily grating, so I actually prefer whiny teenage Anakin to like stupid little kid Anakin, because I just...
Sure.
Just kind of dark.
All right, so...
Tim, what's your order?
I think I'm the only person in this room that saw the original Star Wars in the theater. I feel like that probably has more to do with my...
I did, but I don't remember.
I was 10, you know?
Yeah, not New Hope, but yeah.
So I saw the original Star Wars in the theater, so it... It still has that impact on me, and so I rank it first.
That's why I rank 7 first, and we'll show that.
Five definitely, I think, is next. Empire is an excellent, excellent film by any measure. And then I probably rank 8. Then I think 7, then Rogue One, although they're close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then 6. All of those films are movies I would watch again and have watched again multiple times. And then I would go 2 only because I think the performance of Obi-Wan in that film by Ewan McGregor is so good that I rank it above the other two, even though I still hate it. And then 3 and then 1.
I think that so for me, emotional connection is a big reason why Force Awakens was like for me, mostly because... we used to play Star Wars a lot, and I was, you know, never got to play with a lightsaber if we had them. Like, I couldn't even pretend that my stupid neighborhood people and cousins or whatever else were just like girls can't have lightsabers. Princess Leia has a blaster, so you can pretend to have a gun or whatever, but, you know, you can't do the lightsaber, which was dumb. So, like, it was just... And yes, I know there were female characters in the prequels that had lightsabers. It just wasn't the fucking same at all as getting to have a female protagonist and have that moment and have, like, that... So, like, that emotional connection I had to Force Awakens, similar to you as a kid, Tim, I think is, like... Yeah, is that why you think you like Empire best, Nick? Like, because of anything?
I don't know. I like Empire. I don't know. It's the Star Wars movie I've probably like thought about the most.
Mm.
I feel like it has more of my favorite moments, Star Wars moments, than any other Star Wars movie. I feel like when I think about it, I think about like colors and layouts for particular scenes and like the dinner setting with Darth Vader at the very end when they enter in through the door and like
and he like shoots Darth Vader. Darth Vader just holds up his hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fucking awesome.
There's so many things in it that stick out in my mind as things I love and that things that look fucking awesome, like the color and the I don't know, things that I don't usually notice in a movie I notice in remembrance to go to be an Empire.
Like the Cloud City in Bespin, which feels so alien.
Yeah.
You know, it really defines it as a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
I mean, of the non-prequel movies, like, I have New Hope rated last, but I love New Hope. Like, yeah. It's probably the one I've seen more than any other Star Wars movie.
That's why I have Return of the Jedi last, because I like it a lot, and I think it's a good movie, but I just, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, back to 8.
Yeah. So back to 8. So, one thing that, I don't know, I'm having a hard time thinking about complaints from people because all the complaints I feel I've heard have been really easily been counterable to me. Like, people complaining about how Snoke doesn't matter or we don't get to find out anything about him and we don't know who he is, but like, I feel like anything you say about Snoke in that way, you can also say about Emperor Palpatine.
Right.
Where did he come from? What's his backstory?
We got more of Palpatine in 6, but what did you know about Palpatine?
We didn't know anything. Yeah. Not until the prequels.
What do you need to know about him? Fucking nothing. He's an evil emperor.
He's the evil
Like, that's
Grand
literally
charge.
All you need to know, and that's the same with Snoke. But people were upset that we didn't...
What do you need to know about the fucking mystery? Balrog and fucking Lord of the Rings?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, guys, so who's Rey? We never get... She's no one?
Yeah, she's no one. That's awesome. That's so awesome that she's no one.
Who else is no one?
That her parents... Well, Luke Skywalker... Well, we
Anakin.
Thought. Yeah, Anakin was no one.
Who else is no one? Obi-Wan Kenobi. Where the fuck did he come from?
Right.
We don't know anything about
Obi-Wan. As far as we know, he wasn't like...
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know. He didn't have, like, mystical parents or anything.
Right.
We don't know who Yoda's parents were.
Yeah, Yoda? He came from Dagobah. You can't tell me that there's a shit ton, that there's, a really long line of Jedi family coming from wherever the hell Yoda's
from. So, well, what about Phasma? Like, she looked pretty cool, but then, like, she was just, like, a throwaway villain.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
They did Phasma wrong.
There's no throwaway villains that are, like, look really cool and are iconic that just get thrown away like nothing.
100% Boba Fett. That's 100... He wasn't even going to be a character. He was just meant to be nothing. And then people liked the way he looked. They built a whole race around it.
Phasma's...
Mandalore wasn't, like, a fully fleshed out even anything.
Phasma is Finn's boogeyman.
I'm mad about Phasma. I feel like
I would have liked that. If you want me to get to weaknesses, I would have liked more of Phasma.
I don't think she's out.
I don't think she's out either. But I feel like so we saw a video where they called Gwendolyn Christie a celebrity cameo. I was like, bitch, she was in the other one. She's cast as this role. Like, she's not...
Yeah.
And she's not a celebrity because she was on a show that's real famous. That's not what a celebrity is.
Her comic's good. One Trade.
Phasma?
Phasma backstory. Yeah. Find out about the planet she's from and how Hux found her.
Interesting.
And took her in. It's cool.
That's pretty... That sounds
Phasma, great. Here's... So, Phasma, I don't think she's truly loyal to the New Order. I think she is ultimately loyal to herself. So, I don't think she's out of it yet, necessarily. I don't know.
Yeah.
They did not... I mean, they show her falling, but it's very easy to assume that in a suit of armor that is resistant to blaster fire...
Right, from pretty short range.
She could have survived.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get to critiques, I feel like Phasma as a villain, I would have liked to see more.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, I don't think that ruined the movie.
No. I was just bummed. It was just more of a, yeah, Phasma, fuck yeah, aw. Bye, Phasma. All right. Damn.
So here's a complaint I heard about this movie. There's really not a lightsaber duel in the movie.
I did hear someone say that. Someone said, the whole thing I like about Star Wars is the representation of good versus evil in an epic lightsaber duel, and we didn't get that.
So what was that thing at the end where Rey and Kylo went back to back?
That wasn't them. That wasn't good versus evil. That was good and evil teaming up against other things. So people didn't like it.
I feel like that's such a fucking hair splitting.
It's such a hair splitting.
I do not fucking care. Star Wars is not about lightsaber duels. Arguing
right?
that you need
I mean,
arguing that I love a good fucking lightsaber. lightsaber duel.
The backbone of the prequels, as weak as it is cool lightsaber duels.
That's the only... But it's so great. The prequels have cool lightsaber duels. They have nothing else.
Is right. that what you if want? If you
watch the, watch the lightsaber duel in episode 4, they basically hold the swords back nothing. And they'll smack, 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 smack. Yeah. There's no cool... Yeah. It's everything about that duel is the emotional importance of it. It has nothing to do with the actual duel itself.
Your epic lightsaber battle that represents good and evil and everything happened in the form of a really fucking awesome force illusion across like fucking time and space practically that Luke somehow projected a younger version of himself with his blue lightsaber like in different clothes on another planet and like was able to talk to Kylo and everything, or to Ben I should say at that point, because he was talking to Ben. He wasn't talking to Kylo, he was talking to Ben, and like that was super cool, and I actually was completely fooled. I was not one of the people that Trigg do it early. I didn't notice
his beard was so different.
I just thought he looked different. I was like, oh, he cleaned up. But I didn't notice he wasn't leaving red footprints. I didn't notice he had the blue lightsaber. Like I didn't.
Yeah.
But
I was fooled. I wasn't even thinking about it.
Yeah,
Devin.
I was so into it.
My son Devin, actually, after the movie, was like, the lightsaber was the wrong color. I knew it was a projection. I'm like, oh, you smart little fucker.
That's clever, smart.
There were a lot of subtle things, like the kid with the broom.
Oh,
a lot of people missed that.
Oh, yeah.
The kid with the broom.
Or the books.
Yeah.
The books.
Yeah.
Which is just like, and the fact that you see Rey by that drawer earlier as she's getting ready to leave,
Okay.
Octo.
So
Octo. I don't remember the names of planets and aliens and shit.
So one of my favorite things that happened is, and that a lot of people seem to really like as well, is we got crazy Yoda back and like, the weird old Yoda,
puppet Yoda,
even weirder Yoda too, like because he's even older, so he's gotten even weirder, and like his, I know he's not older because he's not alive, but his Force ghost shows up when Luke is gonna maybe burn down the temple, and he's like, "Oh, you're gonna burn down the temple," and Luke's like, "Yeah, it's a place that, you know, we have to end this Yoda, we have to put an end to this," and he's like, "Sure, okay, hey, you know what? Let me help you out." And he just like lights it up like lightning strike it, so just because he's just like, "You're not gonna do it," and does it for him.
Oh,
and
you're a pansy, Luke.
It's so great. It was so great.
I feel like one of the things I love the most about this movie is that it is very different than a lot of other Star Wars movies.
Yes. Yeah. It's time to let the past go.
It's so perfect.
Yep.
It's so perfect.
Yep.
Like, it's different out of necessity. The Force Awakens was, like, as many complained about, but I liked. It was very nostalgic.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
It was like time's a flat circle.
I feel like... the prequels were such a disappointment universally and are kind of the butt of the franchise and all the jokes. They had to give us something that was like, no, we're going to do this like the real Star Wars movies. Mm-hmm. And that's why The Force Awakens was the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And why...
They had to sell the idea to people.
Yeah.
Well, and you could go back to listen to what I said. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. They couldn't do that for a second movie. Like, they couldn't get away with it. But they also have to change the franchise. So they showed us that they weren't going to prequel us again. But then the next movie needed to be different. And all the semiotics of that fits perfectly with the overall theme of the movie, which is letting go of the old things and for things.
No more resistance. No more empire.
Right.
Order.
Because like this whole chain of events that's been set in motion from A Phantom Menace is the same. It's the same ongoing events. It's the same chain. It's the same story, and we haven't really had any big one thing happen to, like, actually end these 9 movies. And this isn't setting up the end of a trilogy. It's setting up the end of 9 movies.
It's
going to be drastic.
I'm pretty sure I said this when we recorded our Force Awakens podcast 2 years ago, that I felt the whole reason that The Force Awakens was the way it was, such a reflection of A New Hope, was that implication that this battle has been raging for centuries. Mm-hmm. The same things happening over and over and over again, and that I felt what this trilogy was going to be about was breaking that cycle.
Yeah.
And this movie, The Last Jedi, is exactly that. Is exactly showing you that the cycle must be broken. That if somebody doesn't find a way out of the past, that the same fight will just keep raging forever. And thousands of people will keep dying.
Yeah.
And the fact that I saw that I think they set that up. I mean, I don't think I was clearly, you know, Nick, you just mentioned it yourself. I don't think we were the only people that saw that. And they delivered on that promise in this movie. And it surprises me that so many people, I mean, I wonder if the expectations were different, because there is a lot of anger around this movie. Just not I didn't like this movie, but I am angry that this movie exists. This movie has ruined Star Wars for me in a way the prequels didn't. I mean, I've read
insane.
That.
It's ridiculous.
That's insane. Well, and like I was saying earlier in the show here is that, you know, when they're breaking everything for a reason, and like it's like you have to understand this is how stories are told. Like the story has to end, like you were saying, Nick, in one more movie. Like, so how unless they're going to wrap it up too quick, you're not going to like it. Something has to break here because that's just how stories work. Like, it's just, it's.
Otherwise, we're going to have a 10, 11, and 12. It's going to be the same story again.
Well, and they can't. The next three movies that Rian Johnson got, they got greenlit to make. They are not going to have anything to do with this timeline. They're going to be...
Skywalker. It's separate from what they're calling the Skywalker saga.
Yeah, it's going to have nothing to do with it. So probably going to be, my guess is either very far in the future or very, very, very far in the past.
Oh, man, Knights of the Old Republic, come on. Good.
Yep.
So what I'm going to say is the thing to me that tied this movie together that made... That really... And it's why I love this movie. It's that... When Yoda shows up, one of the things he's telling Luke is, you learn more from failure than from success.
Yes.
And for people that say that nothing happens in this movie, I almost feel like they weren't watching, because this movie is all about watching these characters fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They all
consequences.
They all fail horribly. Finn and Rose's and Poe's mission goes wrong. The opening battle of the movie, even though the Republic wins and the Resistance wins, it's a failure.
Yeah, Poe fucks up big time.
I will say, like, as a side note, though, yes, all the teams fail, but this is a movie about competent women and level-headed women and men being a little bit too emotional and a little bit too irrational and kind of fucking up because of it. If you think of it, like Poe fucks up because he gets too emotional, he's hot-headed, he thinks he knows it, and he jumps to a conclusion and he makes a decision without considering all his options because he's not a general. That's why he's not a general, right? And then on top of that, you've got when Finn goes to ditch, he's going to desert because he's running on emotion. He's got to go find Rey. He's not thinking. He's not using his head. All he's thinking about is with his heart. He's got to go get her. And so his emotions overtake him. So Rose takes him out and does the better thing, you know, and does it smarter. Also, when he's going to sacrifice himself, she knocks him out to be like, what are you doing? Like, you idiot. That's not going to save anything. That's just you dying, right?
Right.
And then you've got Holdo, who was willing to go down with the ship after, like, getting Leia back. Leia having the smart enough idea to be connected with Rey. I don't know. Rey telling Luke to go fuck himself and being like, fine, I'm going to get the books and peace out.
I do have one. That reminded me of my one, like, kind of major nitpick for Holdo. With the hyperspace fucking torpedo run or suicide.
Hyperspace jump through the other ship.
Yeah, through not just the other ship. Through, like, it goes out at a ray.
Yeah.
So it hits a bunch of their ships, but mostly the Supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have, like, hyperspace torpedoes? Why didn't they just have a couple of carriers jump to hyperspace into the Death Star, like rather than do a trench run. Like if a large, why aren't they mounting hyperspace drives on asteroids and plummeting them in through fleets? Like if something jumping to hyperspace, which we know is affected by like big gravity wells, because that's how they block and pull ships out.
Yeah.
And like if you fly too close to massive things, it'll fuck your shit up. It's like, clearly there's a good understanding of how hyperspace works. It's been used for, millions of years or whatever. Sure.
Maybe she's the first one to ever think about doing it like that, using it that way. To be honest.
Among all the different cultures and sentient races and everything that have it.
It could be the size of the ship. There's the fact that if you do it, it is a suicide run.
So maybe the resistance decides not to do it.
But like then have some computers or droids piloting an asteroid with a hyperspace drive.
Maybe the resistance has a moral thing against it, like they often do for so much weird stuff.
But then why wouldn't the First Order use it? I think it comes down to the fact that it is probably a risky enough maneuver that the only way you would do it is if you were desperate.
Right. And the Resistance isn't desperate because they're not like fighting a bigger enemy than them, that they wouldn't resort to riskier tactics.
All right, snark aside, that's a fair criticism.
All right. That's my criticism.
But
I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, it didn't ruin the movie for me.
Counterpoint, it looked motherfucking cool. It did.
Oh my God, when all the sound dropped away.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was so beautiful, and it was just like black and white, and it was just so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, my answer is, okay. Ultimately, it comes down to there was a desperation maneuver that needed to be made.
Yeah.
They made that, she made that desperation maneuver. For whatever reason, it's not something you should do, and she did it.
Yep.
And it looked cool, and that's all they were doing was, it's like when people are like, well, why could they track through hyperspace? You know why they could track through hyperspace? Because they could. Well, it's not supposed to be possible. They said that in the movie. They're like, I didn't think that was possible. Well, they figured it out. There you go. Storytelling done.
They actually mention it in Rogue One when she's looking through all the different projects and stuff that are on the big computer system with all the files and shit with the Death Star plans. One of the projects or something that they see or mention is hyperspace tracking.
Sure. And of course, all that research was destroyed.
No, nope.
But
well, just the plans, wasn't it?
All the research was destroyed. Oh. I mean, they destroyed they hit it with the Death Star.
Right.
So, but nonetheless, what that shows you is it's not something people haven't been thinking about.
Right.
So at some point they figured it out, and that's basically what the movie says, huh? They figured out how to track through hyperspace. Why do you need more explanation than that?
In a fantasy movie. Just, you know, you can say things are magic.
Yeah.
This is a space
opera, not a sci-fi movie.
Right.
I mean, like, you got to, like, get on board with the difference.
This is not hard. But even so, what movie would it be bad to have somebody go, oh, I didn't think this thing was possible. And then the response is, well, clearly they figured it out.
Right.
How many movies do you expect?
There's tons of movies that do that. Cyber hacking.
And how many movies do you freak out about, oh my God, they didn't explain that why it wasn't impossible?
People are the worst.
I don't know. We all liked it, though.
And that's the thing, I think, if you don't like it, if you have that negative response to it, you're going to look at these things and you're going to hold on to them as, well, this is why I didn't like it. This bit didn't make sense or the movie was spinning its wheels, which I don't agree with, and I can't even see it because to me, the movie took a bunch of characters who are not heroes and made them and turned them into a fighting force that might be able to win.
So I have a question that's very important that I need you guys to answer for me.
Okay.
Porg or Vulptex? Which are you going to, like, if you had to choose, Porg or Vulptex?
Porg. The Vulptex or
the crystal foxes. We'll assume that they're both tame and they can be your pet and they like you.
Porg? Yep.
Yeah, I got to pick Porg.
I'm going straight Vulptex. They're so cute.
Well, I knew you would. They're closer to goats.
They look like little dogs. So something funny I just found out, we just read today about the porgs is that They were inspired by and kind of because of all the puffins that wouldn't leave them alone when they were filming on whatever island they filmed all of the Jedi Temple stuff.
And they couldn't practically or cheaply or efficiently at least
get them edit out
all of the puffins. So some of the porgs are just porged over, like puffins that have been porged over.
Pork-skinned puffins.
I like that. I like
it's
that
super
a lot.
Funny. It makes him eating them even like it was perfect. Yeah. It looked like a little bird that he ate. That it was That scene with Chewie was very funny.
I like what you were saying, Tim, about failure in this movie, and someone else on a thread I was reading was saying that it's a story about consequences, like consequences for Luke and what he did, consequences for Snoke and Rey and Kylo and Poe and Finn and Rose, the whole resistance, like it's all just consequences for their actions and for their choices and mistakes, and everyone pays a pretty fucking hefty price.
Yeah,
they really do. Poe is the guy. I mean, they set Poe. He's the guy that's going to have to lead the resistance to victory.
Yeah,
and there is no way that the Poe at the beginning of this movie could have done it.
Because
all he would have done is led him to die.
So what the fuck are they going to do with Leia? Because they confirmed that Carrie Fisher there's nothing for her in episode 9. So, like, is she just going to pull a fucking, like, itchy, scratchy and, what was the third
one? My home planet, Poochie.
Yeah, Poochie. Yeah. Is she going to pull a Poochie and, like, I am now gone and dead and I died off screen. Like, off screen?
I think we'll have hologram Leia. Afar from the action, trying to
like a message, and then they blow up or something.
No,
there's no solution they can come up with that's gonna be satisfying. But I mean, she died. The actress.
It would have been so easy to have her die instead of
Ackbar,
Holdo.
Yeah, but they would have. But they already filmed it. Probably. They didn't have a way to film. Yeah.
All right, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10, how cheesy was the vacuum force float thing that she... Like did that bug you guys at all? Like,
It did bug me because, like... What bugged me about it was, like, it was the way that it was filmed and portrayed. The cheesing...
It looked cheesy.
It looked cheesy. Like, if it had just been a fast thing that... See, it just the slow, like... Da 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 da, and like sparkle skin and weirdness.
It looked like she got rotated in Photoshop.
Yeah,
like it kind of looked goofy to me.
It was kind of weird.
Tim, did it bother you?
I agree. I thought the effects on it. I didn't have a problem with the idea that Leia had some force abilities.
Not at all.
We knew she had force abilities.
And you know, it's not, as somebody pointed out, and I thought of this too. It's like it's not that she was flying through space; she was pulling herself towards the ship.
Yeah,
she was, you know, using the force
to pull the ship toward her.
But I think the effects on that one didn't help that scene.
No, yeah. And the music was not. Yeah. The music was pretty cheesy too.
Yeah.
It felt very much like the end of Neverending Story, like with the like one grain of sand. There's all no hope, and then there is, and it's saved. And yeah, Jeremy and I were talking about this. He felt, and once he pointed it out, I agreed that when Rose is kicking the wall of her ship to try to get
Rose's sister,
yes, is kicking to try to get the thing to fall down, the detonator to fall down, so that she can drop the bombs, they keep going back to Leia, it looks like she's concentrating really hard, they keep going back to her, and it is like heavily implied that Leia does something to move that with the kick and like helps it down to
I didn't
her.
Even think of that.
Thought of it until Jerry pointed it out. And then that's I was great. Like, that totally makes sense. Like, that, I figured they just kept shooting back to Leia because, you know, she's worried.
Couple of points that I would have loved to see a different choice, and that, not that I thought the choices were bad, but there I would have almost loved to see that character actually be able to use the Force to get it. Like, the implication
Rose?
That
they're... Rose. What was her sister's name? I cannot remember.
Sorry. They mentioned it, like, once.
I know.
Almost that idea that there are other Force sensitives in the galaxy, and in a moment of desperation, this character is able to use the Force to get something done. That would have the other thing that I wish had happened, and that I know from a storytelling point of view, there is no way they could have done it, and it is unfair of me to want it. And yet, I wanted this movie to end so badly at the point where Luke was standing in front of that door and Kylo Ren says, fire, and everything fire on Luke Skywalker.
And just have it end.
And then have the credits roll there.
That would have been terrible.
Oh, I would have loved it so much. I would have been like, oh, you sons of bitches. I cannot wait to see what happens.
I'm glad they didn't do that, because that would have been schlocky, like super schlocky. But when they did that, all I could think, Nick, and I knew this was like, I as soon as they started firing, because I mean, you know, he's gonna be there or whatever, and it's not good. And I assumed it was because he just used some mystical force power or whatever.
Sure.
But was a preacher, not enough gun.
Yeah. Like, sure. Saint of all killers.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I read it. Okay, so I read a post that made me laugh so hard, and it was a Tumblr post that said, the most insane character in the entirety of The Last Jedi is that soldier that gets out of the ship and just leans down and tastes the ground and goes, salt. And it's like Kylo Ren. Well, here we are. Soldier, like, tastes ground. What are you doing? It's okay. It's salt. You didn't know that. Like,
that's someone. Because, like, one of those guys was, like, Edgar Wright or something like that.
No,
and,
not him, but, yeah. Well, Harry
it
and
was,
Prince Harry and Prince William were in it.
That was Rogue One director Gareth Edwards.
Okay.
Who
is the one that got to taste the salt?
Yeah.
It was super funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, what a madman. What are you doing? Like, who gets out of an alien planet you've never been on before and just tastes the ground?
I don't
and I was
know.
Like,
you're about to,
I would. That
you're
is
about
100.
To do a desperate last stand.
Dude, I would do that so
weird,
much.
You'd do some weird shit.
If it
you
looked just, like salt, I would taste
I mean, like,
it. I'd be
I
like,
wonder,
no, I need to know what this is. This
I
is a crystal.
I wonder if this is salt.
I need to know if this is salt.
I'm going to take a lick.
I taste things all the time because they might be salt. It's not wrong. I'm not kidding.
You guys, the show that I did for The Fringe this year, there's like one character that like makes a salt circle. And they used rock salt for the salt. So actually, we didn't get to do it at the actual show because The Fringe is like, no, you can't do that. It's
sure.
going to take forever to clean up.
Sure.
And I was like, they're not going to let us do it. But anyway, so he would do the salt circle in rehearsal, and I'd be picking up the salt rocks, and I'd be like,
yeah.
ooh, salt rock.
I love rock salt.
It's so good.
It's so dumb and good. It's
anyway.
But it looks beautiful.
It did.
Was so
yeah, the color was crazy.
It was so
that
deep.
Shot
like that
when the ships are skimming across the flat and they're leaving the trails as they're headed towards the waters.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
That was an amazing shot. I just loved it. I loved it hard.
I like that Rey is left with a broken lightsaber with the kyber crystal exposed. We've never actually had a Jedi assemble their lightsaber during a movie. It's always happened between movies.
Yeah.
It's happened on, like,
Rebels.
The Clone Wars and Rebels and shit, but we've never actually had a Jedi assemble a saber during a movie. That might be cool to see. Or to go into some of the kyber crystal stuff, maybe.
Another thing that I loved was, you know, there's that moment when Luke is teaching Rey a little bit about the Force.
Yeah.
And, you know, she makes the pebbles rise. And then later in the movie, there's that looking at the boulders and and recalling that moment. And I was thinking back to Empire Strikes Back and that exchange between Luke and Yoda when Luke is like, you know, X-Wing is so much different from a couple of rocks. And
Yoda's
like, no, it's no different, only in your mind. And that's that reflects when Rey looks at these rocks and she's like, those are no different than the pebbles.
And it's also a super funny joke because Luke had said to her that being a Jedi isn't all about lightsabers and lifting rocks.
Yes,
and
then
it was 100% about lightsabers and lifting rocks for the rest of the movie.
And then I really liked that you could see Yoda in Luke's mentoring style. In that Yoda was kind of a fucking rascal who was wise and kind of like, you know, rapping Luke on the head and stuff like that. And I feel like that is, for the very brief period that Luke was Rey's mentor, that is totally what he did. And he was kind of a grumpy old dick. And that's kind of what Yoda was, a grumpy old dick.
Yep.
And then I'm glad they got to bring Yoda in to like kind of reemphasize that too. I don't know. I dug that.
I think part of what some people really wanted is they wanted that training. They wanted to see Luke training Rey. And I think they were disappointed that we got essentially broken Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
I liked it too.
I have to say, the thing I love most about Rey is when it comes to being tempted by the dark side, she just looks at the dark side. She's like, nope, not interested.
I was really wanting Kylo to go over, but and then have it be them against Hux. And then Hux could, like, step up. Another thing that kind of I missed Force Awakens Hux was way better than Last Jedi Hux.
Yeah.
He was more of an actual
joke.
It was more of a joke this time. Yeah. I didn't really. But I still didn't hate it.
I think Hux is going to be really fucking
dead. This Hux fucks.
I remember watching Force Awakens and saying that I felt like Kylo Ren was the kind of guy that was going to be just like burn the galaxy to the fucking ground.
Oh yeah.
And he absolutely is turning into that character. And I'm one of those people that I don't want Kylo Ren to have a redemption arc because he killed fucking Han
anymore.
Solo.
He won't anymore.
No, he lost the opportunity.
He doesn't want to. That's the thing. He doesn't want redemption. He wants to rule.
He wants to burn the galaxy to the ground. Yeah, he wants to tear down the existing power structures and start over. Like,
say what you will about.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so yeah, we would love to know your thoughts about The Last Jedi. We would love to know your order. Like, what, line up the numbers, do an R for Rogue One, and just put your numbers together and send them to us as a comment on this post on Facebook or on Twitter. We're at Geeks Without God there. We have 5 answers from someone.
Yeah, we do. Hey nerds, long time listener, second time caller. Why, it's friend of the show, Timmy Iverson.
Hey!
Oh,
gosh. On the Star Wars episode.
I know.
Oh,
now, Timmy. This is great because Timmy did not like The Last Jedi.
He hated The Last Jedi.
And so I am sorry that I'm really. So, right after we record this, I will be sending him an email as a reply here that says that your answers are read on The Last Jedi episode. So,
and then, like, a picture of Nelson pointing and laughing.
Yeah.
Right.
All right,
yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
He has answered our questions. This
great.
Is the second time he's answered our questions since this
week. So, question one, what's the best movie you've seen? Oh, no, that's the old ones.
Yeah.
That's the very first ones, right?
Yeah, you're way back.
Which conspiracy theory, that's right, do you find most compelling or interesting?
I've always been drawn to Bigfoot conspiracies.
Oh.
I think they aren't a real thing, but it would seem the most plausible that nature could have a large furry humanoid that exists in the deep woods of the Pacific Northwest. See Nick Glover.
Nah, fair enough.
So basically, just Nick going on a hike.
Yeah.
That's what Bigfoot
Nick
is.
Gets lost in the woods, basically.
Yeah. All right, question number two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation?
France feels like my home away from home. I also dream of visiting Amsterdam and Japan, but I think a 2-week vacation at the new Star Wars land when it opens is going to have to top them all.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
He did send these in back in October.
He did.
I love Amsterdam. What's a movie? I love the Netherlands.
Yes,
I should say.
Yes.
I
team are gonna be happy.
What's a movie or book that changed your life? How or why?
I have to say Star Wars.
Oh!
It's a movie. When I saw my first Ben Kenobi Wonder Bread collectible card, I felt like I belonged there in that galaxy far, far away. With the exception of Legend of Zelda, Star Wars video games almost seem like home to me. Excuse me. Whereas I suck at most video games, Star Wars games I just fall right into. Star Wars made me want to be a writer and helped me escape into my imagination at a crucial time when I was not as physically able as I am today. It also taught me the greatest life lesson. Do or do not, there is no try.
All right. Question number 4. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
While waiting to see either episode 2 or episode 3, I can't remember which, the cutoff for the theater capacity ended literally right before me in line. The manager felt bad, so he opened up a whole other theater and swapped out whatever movie was in there. So me, Chad, and my Star Wars lover, Bobby, got to have a theater we shared with maybe 20 other people. While we were waiting for the doors to open, Chad shined his blue LED keychain on me, light up on me with my hoodie up. I performed Princess Leia's Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi speech for the crowd, complete with head turn and switch off of Bob. After which a huge cheer went up and I took my congratulatory bow. Acting!
That's wonderful.
That's amazing.
And our last question, number 5. What is your favorite hangover cure?
Cocaine! It's like mine! One time at a house party, I drank too much each of the following. 1/5 of SoCo, 1/5 of Bacardi, 1/5 of vodka, and 1/4 of snake bite, which is Yukon Jack and lime juice. I had so much alcohol in me, I was compelled to do push-ups nonstop for over an hour. Penny, the girl whose house it was, exclaimed, "Someone stop Timmy from doing push-ups. He's scaring me." Lol. I also tried cocaine for the first time ever. I was too terrified to go to sleep, so I stayed up all night long, paranoid I might die. I really think the cocaine saved my life. Amazingly, when I went to bed the next afternoon, I did not wake up the next day with a hangover. I also never drank that much again. How I survived, I have no idea. Maybe that should be my favorite conspiracy theory. Thanks for the amazing podcast and for all the cereal juice and soda that Molly has made me shoot out of my nose by making me eat, making me laugh while listening while eating. I raise a geeky boner to you all. Huzzah.
Huzzah. And to you. Thanks, yay. Timmy. You should send in your answers to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can type out the word 5 or the number 5. They both work. So
boom.
If that mystery has been preventing you from sending your answers, we just banished that mystery. We do have a new Patreon supporter that we want to thank. Joshua Corwin is going to get some stickers and a button from
us.
You're
the best, Josh.
He also gets to listen to that new episode that we did, a special field trip report where we went and we talked to psychics. And we recorded that episode just for our supporters, and that's at any level. So if you want to just hear that episode, you could, like, throw us a buck and then cancel after a few months or whatever. And just to get that episode, we're cool with that. Like, that episode's worth a buck, maybe.
We'll take your dollar.
I'd like to hope
so. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I always will take a dollar.
So, yeah, let us know what your Star Wars ratings are, what you thought of The Force Awakens. We would be willing to engage in a respectful conversation about it on Facebook. I don't know, man.
I don't really feel like anyone's spoilers. So
I've declared my Facebook wall as a no-hate zone.
I would say, I'll tell you what, if you're listening to this after, January 16th, then maybe, sure, we can spoiler it on our page.
But, all right, that's fair.
But not before that.
And I'm totally cool with people not liking the movie. So sorry, Timmy. I really am. But anyway, I just don't want to talk about hating it on my page. That's fair. Thing. It's like I enjoyed the movie. I have read the complaints. I do not agree with them, and I will continue to enjoy the movie. So
cool.
Sure.
On that note, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye. Porgs are better than Ewoks. Not debatable.
We're geeks. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks, we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
I'm never listening to this podcast again!